a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
Kia ora, this is the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 24th of May. We're your hosts today, Gabby
and Amy. In university news, at 12 p.m. on Thursday, around 200 people gathered on the Union Lawn as part of the National Students' Protest for Palestine, with other protests in Auckland, Waikato, Wellington and Christchurch. The protest was organised by the Otago Students for Justice in Palestine and the Muslim University Students' Association Otago, or MUSA. Police were present at the beginning of the protest as people gathered on the lawn. After an introduction from the MUSA president and committee members of the OSGP, chants were practiced and the protest marched to the university clock tower, led by a banner stating, "The students of Aotearoa stand against genocide." At the clock tower, a panel of guests gave speeches on the current conflict in Gaza, including Otago Regional Councillor Elliot Ware. A tent was also set up by MUSA selling food and t-shirts to raise funds to support Palestine. Reporters based at the R1 office could hear the chants from the clock tower from outside the office.
Noxie's light bulbs have been going walkies thanks to the kleptomaniacs within the castle. Critic reported on the matter following a letter to the editor from the pissed off Noxie's. No solo blame has been put in place. Instead, a COVID-like spread of the kleptomania seems to be the cause. A current Noxie, blaming the cyclical nature of the crimes, stating, "Someone steals from you, you steal from someone else." Head boarding mistress Caroline is apparently having to get involved. Shame she couldn't save the KCSE while she was at it. This, however, is not the start of such crime. An ex-Noxie from 3 years ago reported these thefts plagued her too, with the double A rooms, ones with two bedrooms and a central living room, being the prime target, and forced her to use her own bedroom light to use during prees. This year's thefts have not been regular, according to source Ethan, who found it funny. Aside from the recent events transpiring where a sub-warden, or subby, had their light from their own room stolen, the boys involved definitely got in the shit.
In Otipoti, restaurant owners of the bowling club were blown away by support shown from the community. Tim Scott of the Otago Daily Times reports, "Community generosity has brought the owners of a community-based eatery almost to tears after a flood of donations to help fund subsidised meals. The bowling club, which used to be a food truck before moving into a restaurant in Caversham, provides affordable $4 and accessible vegetarian food. Whilst they typically charge $4 per meal, they end up giving away many for free, with around 5-10% of 900 in-store customers on an average night. Last week, they started a frozen meal service, which increased the number of free meals being produced. Co-owner Jackie Bannon said that they reached out through social media to ask people to donate $4 a week to help cover the cost of the service and were truly blown away by the response so far. They had received around 250 donations, coming to a total of $11,300, including a single donation of $2,000. Bannon said that they had received a lot of messages about deliveries and understood that it was a big ask for people to come to Caversham to dine in, especially if they had no means of transportation or did not live in the area. They asked their in-store customers to volunteer to drop off meals to those who lived in the area. About 100 meals over 18 deliveries were made last week, and Bannon said that they were expecting more than 200 meals over 30 deliveries in the coming week. They are aware that it is not a sustainable solution, as there is a lot of administration, and they could not expect the community to deliver hundreds of meals. However, the donations took away some of the stress which came with their operations, and they have said that it feels like a weight has been taken off their shoulders, as they know that people are going to help them and look out for them.
In national news, voting is open for the Tate Iwi People's Choice Award for 2024's Aotearoa Music Awards. The People's Choice Award is decided entirely by public vote. The Aotearoa Music Awards will be held next Thursday in Tamaki Makaurau to celebrate artists and music from Aotearoa. This year also sees the Breakthrough Artist of the Year category rethought. Rather than being one award, it will be split into two tui, Breakthrough Single and Breakthrough Artist of the Year. Radio 1 faves have been nominated for an Aotearoa Music Award, include The Beths, nominated for Album of the Year, Best Single and Best Group, Mermaidens for Best Single of the Year, Best Group, Best Alt Act, and Best Album Art, and Avondale Bowling Club for Album of the Year, Single of the Year, Best Solo Artist, and Best Hip Hop Artist. You can vote for your fave artist from Tate Iwi People's Choice Award at peopleschoiceaward.org aotearoamusicawards.nz. Voting closes tonight, closes at midnight next Tuesday.
In international news, Harrison Butker's 2024 commencement speech at Benedictine College has become a viral talking point on social media due to the large amount of reactions, with some people calling him misogynistic. Randy Richardson of NBC News reports in the 20-minute speech performed by the NFL Chiefs team's kicker, Butker said that he intended to say the difficult stuff out loud and address the women graduates directly in an attempt to counter the diabolical lies they'd been told. He stated that they should forget about their professional academic achievements because their lives will begin when they begin their vocation as a wife and a mother. He urged the men in the graduating class to be unapologetic in their masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. The speech also touched on pride, birth control, COVID restrictions, dangerous gender ideologies, and Catholic principles. Butker described Catholic pride as not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride, which was a dig at Pride Month celebrating the LGBTQ plus community coming up in June. Responses to the speech have been split, with the in-person audience applauding, but fierce backlash online. Nuns associated with the college said in a statement that his speech did not represent the school or its founder's vision, and the NFL said that it, in its statement, his views are not those of the NFL as an organisation.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Friday, 24th of May. Today's bulletin was written by Gabby Scott, Amy Martin, Lauren Kilkburn, Jamie Lorimer, and read to you by Gabby Scott and Amy Martin.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news.
Up next, we have Don't Forget Your Roots by 660. This goes out to Harrison Butker. Don't forget, you came from a woman.
Kia ora, this is the R1 News at 1. We're your hosts today, Gabby and Amy. The Capping Show 2024 is coming to an end with their closing night tonight.
Last week, we had the opportunity to catch up with the producer of this year's Capping Show, Dane Oates. And in the studio with us today, we have AJ and Jack Evans, who play Beezy and Ken in this year's Barbie-themed show.
Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Sublime.
So good. So happy to be here.
How are you guys looking forward to the final of the show tonight?
It's going to be a big one, honestly. I'm so excited. It's been so much fun, and I think the energy is really high for tonight. I think we're going to change things up a little bit tonight, which is kind of exciting.
And we're literally sponsored by Megazone for our final party. How good is that? We're going to play laser tag.
Can we be invited?
No.
Oh, Ben thinks he's got mad chat. Jeez. Alrighty, so we're going to come through with the first question. So,
what has been the highlight of being part of the show this year?
It's going to sound real cringe, but honestly, like, I got to the start of the show run, and I was like, honestly, I don't even care how good the show is at this point. I've just had fun, like, doing in it and being in it with these people. Like, when I first joined, everyone was so funny, and it was, like, so intimidating. I still feel so unfunny compared to everyone else, but, like, last night my dad came. Wasn't last night? What day is it? I don't know what day it is.
Today's Friday,
babe. I think Wednesday night my dad came, and nice. I was genuinely actually proud to show him the show, which, like, he's not a theatre person. Like, he's been forced to come to all my musicals and stuff. And I was, like, actually proud of that last night, so.
That's so sick. How about you?
I don't know if you guys know this game called Pokemon Go.
We've been under a rock for the past three years.
In the area that we, like, perform practice, that I actually caught this Blastoise.
Oh wow!
So that was definitely like peak.
So your highlight of the show isn't actually related to the
show.
No,
I call it. It's if you know Pokemon Go, you know how hard it is to catch a Blastoise. So I'm just saying that was peak. Nothing's gonna get better than that.
Oh, that's wow. Like any BCom student with their close most best time at university is actively not participating in university.
I'm so glad that you're not promoing the show right now. I'm so glad that we don't need to promo it anymore, because that would have been so bad.
Yeah, just letting you guys know, it's basically been a flat-out, sold-out show for the past, two whole weeks? Was Wednesday night sold out as well?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week had all been sold out, and every other show, I think apart from opening, was, like, pretty, like, so close to it. Like, we've had a massive crowd every night. And I've actually, I wasn't in it any other previous years, but apparently it's been a bit of a dead one.
Yeah, because we were talking to Dane about it last week, and because I know that last year it was a bit of a, it's been a bit of a downhill because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then he said that this year it's really kind of gone up, and they've had a lot of people wanting to come. And he said himself, he was like, this is probably the best show that we've done. He was like, I really like the theme. I really part of it.
It's just because of me.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely just AJ.
Like, COVID brought it down. AJ came on. It's just gone straight up.
Next year,
big profit.
Nah, not really good.
I think the theme as well has been so good. Like, everyone loved seeing the Barbie film last year, and the hype has been built off that. Yeah, it's just kept rolling around.
Did you guys dress up for Barbie last year?
I think I did wear pink to go see the movie, but I was actually Barbie in my first Hyde Street. I dressed up as Barbie, and I was like, wow, it feels like
a bit of a full circle moment for you. Oh, did you go as Barbie?
I went with my girlfriend at the time, and she gave me this pink shirt to wear. And the toxic masculinity got the better of me, and I actually didn't take my jersey off.
No!
That's not
Whereas
very
now, I would, you know, I'd rock that. But
I mean, you can't really feel, like, toxic masculinity when you're Ben in the cafe show Barbie. You really can't. I was Bibble in my one, you know. Why would I want to look cute when I can look like a little furry monster, you know?
I love furries.
Okay. Swiftly moving onwards. So I'm sure a lot of people that have, you know, been watching it recently have been like, I really want to take part. I might be one of them. And so what was the audition process for, like, for you guys?
For me, I almost didn't audition. I've been thinking about auditioning for the last four years, and I haven't in the last three. But then this year, I was like, I don't really have an excuse not to. So I did. It was honestly quite intimidating. I've told quite a few mates that they should definitely do it next year. And it sounds really intimidating, but I didn't think I did well in it, and I got in. So you basically, like, get a little script, and you read that together with someone else. And then you have to do this improv thing where they, like, give you a prompt, like a funny prompt, and then you've just got like 20 seconds or so just to do whatever with it. But I think just as long as you go in being weird and funny, like, they'll love it, honestly. Just, like, be yourself and relax.
Yeah, if you want to get in, it's kind of similar to how Qatar won the World Cup, how they got to host that. You just bags of money, really, is the go.
I mean, you would know. This is your third year, isn't it?
Yeah, and hey, I've sunk money into the show. I paid to get my hair done. That was stupid.
I mean, that bleach cut is pretty horrific.
I paid for it.
Oh, gosh. So has your audition process for this year, how did it compare to the last two?
Well, they get to know you, so...
So nepotism is the answer.
So you're a bit of a nepotism baby.
Yeah, I mean, I study law as well, so, you know, you're getting used to that.
He's just been bargaining his way into the show every year.
He really shouldn't be the star, but...
When we talked to Dan last week, he said that through the audition process, he, like, saw that you guys, and he was like, there's kind of really no one else that we want to play these people. He was like, it's a pretty easy choice for us to make, which was... Yeah,
it was only, like, two blondes and two blonde girls in the cast, so it was...
Well, I mean, as we can see, you could have dyed your hair.
Well, I'd do anything for caffeine. Like, yeah.
For anything.
What have previous years entailed for your reaching the limit of anything?
Well, last year I played Lister for Cuxon. So, you know, and as a Green voter, that felt quite hard to do. I went bald prior to doing that, so...
Well, I mean, you know, you have to commit, don't you?
Exactly. So would you say, like, how would you describe your experience of being part of the show?
Yeah, it's a cult. It was quite interesting, like, they really do, like, ease you into it, though, because you hear all the rumours that it's a cult, and then, like, they're really nice and, like, mellow at first, and then I think, yeah, by the end of it, because we have, like, a writing session, and then we have, like, a rehearsal session, and at the end of the writing session, like, we get photos of all the writers and, like, light them all on fire and everything, because we're, like, saying goodbye to them, and that was sort of the first, like, easing you into, like, the culty vibe of the whole thing. Yeah, I feel like we're fully, like, indoctrinated now.
Yeah.
But
it's just, like, it's the little things, like, you know, you've got so many groups like Sextet, Sexy Tet, the Selwyn Ballet is well involved. And then there's just these wonderful musicians we have.
They're amazing.
Yeah, if you've seen a show, like, they really just amp you up. They've got this fantastic cover of Hey Jude, Send Nudes. And the whole audience, you know, is up in arms, like, singing along. It's great. one of my favourite things is just coming off stage and just fisting the sextet. Like, they just always air-fist whenever...
Air-fist,
what do you...
Air-bumping. Yeah, fist-bumping.
Fist-bumping,
we'll clarify
fisting,
that
sorry.
One for the people listening.
No, there's so much love there.
Yeah, that's I think so it's interesting because there's, like, so many different parts of the show, but we are, like, so sort of integrated, especially now the show's, like, actually running. Like, sextet and sextet, we didn't really see them until, like, we started doing the shows, and, like, we've only been doing it for, like, a week or so, but, like, yeah, we're so integrated with them now, and, like, it's just so nice. Yeah.
But there's obviously different parts to the show. It's not just all about that one theme.
It's really hard to explain to people what the show is.
Yeah.
I've personally been. I went on Wednesday. Thank you, AJ. But Amy hasn't.
No, I'm going tonight, which I'm very excited for. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you guys can explain a bit better than me, but I've heard that you guys pull a lot of pranks on each other in the closing night. That's not how the show's really meant to go.
It's, you're not going to see the show as Gabby saw it.
Damn.
I think last year, Jasper O'Kane tried to pants me in one of the, like, quite important scenes on final night. So there's a lot of, like, stuff like that. You want to talk?
I don't really have anything major planned. There was one thing I was like, I don't know if my mum's going to be able to look me in the eye after that, because she is coming to the show tonight. Actually, my mum and my stepmum are both coming tonight. And I said I'd do something, and I'm really contemplating it. But I'll pull through. Like, I'm a champ. I'll do it. So you're in for a treat, honestly.
I'm very excited. I'm really looking forward to it. I feel like closing night is usually the best night. And then I do wish I could have gotten a ticket to another night, and then I could compare.
Yeah, I like tricked a lot of people into that. I was like, oh, if you want to come see final night, I was like, oh yeah, final night's the best night. I was like, oh, but if you're gonna see that, you have to see another night, kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Do you have a favorite sketch?
Oh boy, do I have
without
a favorite
spoiling
sketch.
It for Amy.
Well, I mean, she probably won't be able to see this one, and it feels a bit personal to me. I felt a bit. There was like two moments where I felt pretty called out during the show. First one, when the band did their lovely little useless BA song, I felt, you know, I went from doing a science degree to studying classics. Bunch of dead people with a bunch of dead stories.
Is that because you have a British accent?
It's one of them. And
she's not British, she just has an accent.
Yeah,
she's
no, guys, I just did it for the
plastic paper.
Yeah, it's for the personality trait, you know what I mean?
Very
I need
good.
Attention.
What's the other one?
But my other favourite, like, during the show, aside from basically any time AJ was on the stage,
yeah,
just love you, really, was the schmutt novel reading.
That is honestly,
I felt
like,
called out.
An incredible sketch.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Like, there's, like, sketches that are, like, so funny.
Oh, my gosh.
That
clearly.
One is so funny and, like, well-written, and it's a great... It's just beautiful.
It's
like,
well-written, and it feels so natural.
Yeah.
Like, they're reading from a schmutt book, which, if you know, you know. If you don't, I commend your sanity.
That's okay. I went to an all-girls high school.
There's some Pingu ones out there.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
Really? I've heard about the Harry Potter and Draco.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Not Pingu. Pingu's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I might have had a schmutt writing TikTok account in my youth. Do I regret it? No. But the personality that has given me has also been detrimental to my livelihood.
Yeah,
that would be my favourite one.
I have Noot Noot of Pleasure just like ingrained into
my brain. Oh, dear.
Oh,
wow.
Sounds like some real raunchy stuff.
Hey, Jack, would you have a personal experience with this sort of thing?
What?
Would you have a personal experience with schmutt books, with Wattpad?
No. Oh, actually, there used to be this podcast, and it was like my... I think it was like my dad wrote a porno or something. There's this podcast. Anyway,
not your dad personally.
No. It's called My Dad Wrote a Porno. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of fun porno. I'll listen to this because it's comedy. And I was like on a bus and I was listening to this. My dad wrote a porno. And he's like, because he's reading out his dad's porno.
Oh my goodness.
And he's like reading it out. And I'm like on the bus going, see seductively. And I'm like, is this wrong?
Should I be listening to
illegal?
This right now?
Like, I don't know if I should be listening to this on a public bus right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't expect that from you. I'm really glad you contributed in that way. Because, guys, also Jack's lost his voice. Irresponsible with those vocal cords, mate.
I've been told I sing 5 different keys during one song.
They're not wrong. Those reports are true. Okay, guys. Do you guys want to leave any kind of final resounding notes with our listeners?
Obviously, there's not much promo you can do. Sold out.
But so. I think we still want to dig home that, like, for those of you who didn't get tickets tonight, there's probably not, like, much point in life after this, honestly. Like, the show, you're missing out.
We've got a show next year and every year, 130 years we've been going, and there will be another year of Captain.
Wow, so if there's a show next year, are you going to be there in it as well?
I will be there.
I might be there too. Get me in. They're definitely saying that.
I am directing Law Review this year with Charlie Butler, so I should plug that. It's called The Law Rat, so it's Borat themed.
Oh, wow.
So that's something to look forward to in second season.
I thought it was going
to
be Lorax, but okay.
Yeah, that was last year.
Oh, sorry. Clearly, I don't know my stuff. Alrighty, well, thank you guys so much for coming in and chatting with us. We really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you on stage tonight. All the best. This has been the R1 News.
Kia ora, you're listening to the R1 News. Breaking news, we have Lily and Jordan from the R1 team here to talk about the unveiling of new microwaves at the Link of Central Library. So guys, how did the new microwave section look?
It was a wall. It was mostly black. There was some wood panelling. There was 9 microwaves in like one big block, which we'll get to how useful that is in a second. There was like a bench. There was a sink. It did not match the vibe of the Link at all.
It looked very official and like new art deco, and I was not a fan, but they had a cool velvet rope, and it made it feel like very official.
Yeah, it was like a party for the microwaves.
Was there a ribbon cutting?
Was it like the... there a carpet? Was there red?
There was like a black carpet. We walked past it and absolutely nobody was using it.
Oh, my goodness. Are the other 4 microwaves still there?
Sorry?
The other 4 microwaves, are they still there?
No, they're gone. They're gone. And it's like, yeah, so all the microwaves are in one big square on the wall. So it's kind of... I feel like it's going to cause issues because if someone's trying to get to like the middle microwave and then someone's like going for like the top.
How
corners,
high up
you know?
Are the top ones? As a shorty, this is going
like,
to be a problem.
Not for
me.
Not for us. They were not for us.
That's definitely
an
oversight.
There could be concussions from people like opening the microwaves and just like hitting each other in the head. It just doesn't look efficient.
Also, like the line is going to get so confusing.
Oh, true.
You know? I don't know why the microwaves aren't just all in a row and why we have to have this weird, like, unique
tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, tic-tac-toe with microwaves.
Does it look like they're going to be there permanently, or is it going to be the same as the 4 where they wheel them away?
No, it's permanent. It's built into the wall.
Stuck into the
wall. So at any point when the library is open, you can use those microwaves. Because I've gotten annoyed when it's, you know, 9 p.m. and the microwaves are gone.
Yeah, no, you can use the whole kitchenette. At all times, it looks like.
Nice. Fancy. And I struggle, most definitely, in the past, with the queues for the microwaves. So I guess it's supposed to help. What's, like, the longest you guys have queued for the microwaves in the past?
Probably, like, I'd say that I've probably been there for 10 minutes.
I don't use the microwaves because I support local businesses like $4 Lunch.
Plug OUSA $4 lunch every day
where they play Radio 1. I love Radio 1.
We do love Radio 1.
I feel like the queuing is only going to get worse with this new system because it looks so confusing, and I feel like people are going to walk up and they're going to be like, is a microwave free? And then you really have to scan to see if all of the microwaves are in use.
I'm not going to lie, here's a little wee secret from me. I don't use the microwaves in the Link. I go to the parents' room because I can't be bothered standing in line.
And if you're
I am
one of
not
the,
a parent.
And if you're one of the women as well, you guys can go upstairs to the middle floor.
That one's not as much of a secret anymore. However, people don't know about the parents' room, so I'm always in there warming up my lunch.
Bro, everyone's you have just exposed yourself all on I know, live on air.
I know. Oh,
you need to gatekeep.
The doctor's going to come for me now.
Oh, no, bro. That's not good. And I've definitely had some pretty interesting experiences going and using the microwaves after certain people have been there prior. What's, like, the kind of scodiest you've found the microwaves before?
Oh, you haven't used them, okay. Yeah. I'd say it's been all right. I don't think I've ever been there when there's been too bad of a smell or anything. I mean, look, maybe we should just stop bringing tuna to campus.
No, I disagree.
Maybe we should have a whole tuna ban, because when someone heats up tuna in the microwave, there have been times where I've come to uni with a tuna dish and I have made the executive decision that I'm not going to heat it up because I don't want to infect the entire link with my tuna smell.
I feel like salmon, that's more of the problem.
No fish should be heated up in a microwave. It stinks. It's so same as eggs. Eggs should not be warmed up in a microwave. It ruins the smell. We can't just spray perfume in a microwave. It's disgusting. I say no.
Can't back up rouge them, can you?
Exactly. It's disgusting.
My final thoughts on the microwaves is that it kind of seems like the bathrooms at Carousel. And it's just the three doors and everyone's just kind of standing there.
Oh, gosh.
And you're just like, who's in line first? And it's, like, very unclear. And you have to, like, check the door because you can't really see. And it'll be just as messy inside the microwaves.
Also, you can't make something look visually different to the entire rest of the... Like, the Lynx kind of got that, like, whole blue glass thing going on. And suddenly they were just like, here's some... black modern tiles and like a geometric splashback.
Oh, goodness. It's like ancient homes that people like half refurb, and that just feels wrong in my soul.
Terrible. Looks like it's made by the people on the block.
Every room is different. Got a different vibe to try and get better points.
That is
That's terrible.
And the new microwaves, are they the kind of spinny bottom plates, or are they the flat plates that don't move? Or did you not investigate?
We did not investigate either. We just took photos.
You could have
used
a brand new microwave.
Critic is on break right now. We're not doing anything more. I'm personally not doing anything more.
Fair enough. Thank you for answering our hard-hitting questions.
If anyone else wants
to go and have a look at the microwaves, they're down in Central Library in the Link. I don't think you'll be able to miss them.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.